Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Vav. Interesting, today we have learning the shiur, Ili Lishmas, two different David Siegel's father. We have David Siegel from the Young Israel of Woodmere, who has been in my Daf for two cycles. And we're learning Lili Nishmas, David's father, Henry Siegel, Rav Chanoch Henech, Beri Yosef Halevi. And we're also learning Lili Nishmas, another regular listener, this time online to my shiur, from the beginning of this cycle, and that is David Siegel from Chicago. And we're learning Lili Nishmas, his father, Yisrael ben Shmuel Halevi. All the shans we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Tzahal, to bring back the Chatufim, b'mheira, in good health, and without any difficulties or problems. Everybody in Kal Yisrael should be safe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmerem. Okay, we pick up about 11 lines down, Vav Omer Aleph, and with the statement Abayi Omar. Abayi is disagreeing with the shita that we brought down yesterday from Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, as we've already learned several times in the Masechta, Rav Yochanan holds that the whole din of Shvuah from our Mishnah is a takona de Rabbanon, and that's to prevent people from just grabbing onto somebody else's talis, somebody else's garment, and saying it's mine. So therefore, people are, unfortunately, sometimes not concerned about stealing, but they would never make a false Shvuah. As we had said yesterday, at the end of the shir, we do not say, lo amrinon, migu de choshir amamon, choshir ha-shvuah. So just because somebody is suspected of stealing, of being a gana for money, that he would automatically also be suspected of swearing falsely. No, people might unfortunately take a leniency in regards to monetary financial matters, but that doesn't translate to automatically saying that they also would lie about a shvuah. In fact, most would not lie about a shvuah, and therefore, just because you're suspected of financial improprieties doesn't mean that you can't be trusted to make a shvuah. And therefore, the rabbis instituted this as a takana to prevent people from just grabbing somebody else's talis, because while they might grab somebody else's talis, say it's mine, wouldn't swear falsely about it. That was Rav Yochanan's shita. Abaye disagrees with that. Again, 11 lines from the top, Vav Amud Aleph. Abaye Omar. Abai holds as follows: Chayshinon Shema Milva Yeshana Yeshlo Olav. Rashi explains in the middle of the Dibur of Abai Omar that we have to be concerned. Elo Chayshinon Shema Milva Yeshana Yeshlo Olav Alzeh. So Reuven's holding on to a talis. Shimon says, "Hey, Reuven, you owe me money, and you've forgotten about that." He sees that Reuven has forgotten about the fact that he owes Shimon money, and if Reuven were to be taken to court, he would deny Shimon's claim, and therefore v'yach perbo. So what does Shimon do? V'holech v'tokef b'taliso. He goes and grabs onto this garment that Reuven has, and now they're both ochzim, shnayim ochzim with it, and now v'nishba sheyesh lo bo d'mei chetzya. He's not afraid to say, I own half of this talis, because in fact he says he does. V'talis zu shelo. He says, this is really mine. Because he says, you owe me $100. And therefore, your entire properties are mishubit for this $100 loan, including this garment that you have. So therefore, Shimon feels he is legitimately grabbing this garment. And therefore, Abayi says, we have to be concerned in this situation that is the thought process behind Shimon grabbing this talis. He legitimately thinks that it really belongs to him. But if this was, like Rabbi Yochanan said, a real ganav, no. People are choshed on mamon, are choshed on shvuasa. The person who's a ganav, we are concerned that he's going to swear falsely, and therefore Abaye disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel says, if Abaye is right, that Shimon legitimately thinks that Reuven owes him the money, so then ihochi nishko below shvua. So then we should let him go and get the cloak back without having to take a shvua. They should just split it. As Rashi says, Ihochi, amai ramu alei shvua. Why do we make him make a shvua? Kivan di lo hevi alei, lo hevi tovesme. If he wasn't legitimately thinking that he had a right to go and get this garment, he wouldn't have grabbed it. So the Gemara answers, no. The case isn't that he definitely says that Reuven owes him money and has forgotten it. Elo chayshinon. Shimon is just concerned. We're suspecting shema sofek milva yeshana yeshlo olav. Shimon says, I know that Reuven once owed me money. I just don't know if he paid me back or not. I don't remember. And therefore, we would not allow him to just go and collect this debt on his own. And therefore, for a shema sofek milva, in that situation, a person does have to have an oath put into place. And therefore, he won't swear falsely in this situation. And that's why we instituted an oath over here. More questions. This says, really? V'lo aminin, and we won't say over here, according to Abaye, tofis mamona misfeke, mishtaba nami misofek. Why aren't you concerned over here that the person who's grabbing this money out of Suffolk will also swear out of Suffolk falsely? So how come you're not concerned about that? So Rav Sheshes, who's the son of Ravidi, says, Parshe in she misafik shua, lo parshe misafik mulona. No, people aren't going to make a shua because they have a suffik about something. That people won't do. They will grab something because of a suffik, because they'll say, my taima, what happens if I'm wrong? Mamon isa b'chazara. If I subsequently find my records that say that he did pay me back, I can return the money. No harm done. But shua leisi b'chazara. But if it turns out that I really did get paid from Reuven, and now I swore falsely that this garment is mine because I thought maybe he owed me money, so that there's no way I can get it back. I swore falsely. So therefore, in terms of Suffolk Mamona, people will go grab something. But for Suffolk Shvua, that they won't go and do. Okay. By Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira asks the following question. What happens if Tkofo Echad Bifonenu? What are we talking about over here? So Rashi explains, Hotzia Miyad Chadero Bechazaka. You have these two people, Reuven and Shimon, Shnaim Ochzim the Talis. And what happens? Reuven grabs the entire Talis from Shimon. Vari Kula Biyado Kodem Shinishbo. And now he's in full possession of it before they made the Shua. If each of them had made the Shua, so then they each now have become officially a mochzak in it, and one grabs from the other. That's no different than if somebody's a mochzak in something and somebody else takes it from him. So you're entitled to get it back from him. So here, before the shvur that either Reuven or Shimon made, Reuven was able to forcibly take it away from Shimon. So what's the halacha? Mahu. Do we say in this situation that it belongs now totally to Reuven, and Amosi Mechaber all arrived, Shimon would have to prove it? Or do we say, no, he just grabbed it from him. They originally were holding on to it. So, Hechidami, what exactly is going on over here? What's the question that Rav Zeira is asking? Gemara says, Edishosik, if after Reuven took the entire garment into his possession, Shimon didn't say bo, so then, Oduye, Odile, that is essentially a definitive admission on his part that I do not own it. It's as if Shimon is saying, okay, Reuven, you do own it, and it's yours. So that's as if it was a hodah that the garment belongs, in fact, to Reuven. And if he's screaming, hey, he's stronger than me. He grabbed it out of my arm, but it's mine. So then, what else could he do other than yelling to the basin? Hey, he just grabbed this from me. You saw him grab it from me. He's stronger than me. Give it back to me. It's mine. I'm not giving it up. So again, we don't understand what the question is. Either if he was silent, it clearly belongs to Reuven. And if he's not silent, he screams, hey, he just grabbed it away from me. So why would Reuven get it? Just because he's stronger. So he says, well, that's not what Reuven's question is. Lotzricha, you need this case over here. There was Rosera's question, the Shasik Meikara, where Reuven grabbed it from Shimon, and initially Shimon was silent. But then, the Hadar Tzavach, but a few seconds later, a few minutes later, he says, hey, that was mine. He grabbed my cloak. So here, Rav Zeira is asking, what's the halacha in this situation? How do we view this person who was originally silent, and then he complained, and then he yelled and said, hey, that was my cloak? I mean, the ishtik, from the fact that he was originally silent, does that mean that that's his hodah? Oduye odile. He was essentially saying, hey, Shimon doesn't really own it. Shimon is saying, I don't really own it. And it really belongs to Reuven because he was silent. And shtiko ki hodah. So his silence definitively proves that it really does belong to Reuven. Or do we say, no, Oduma, kivin the kotzava hashta, since he now is screaming and saying, no, he grabbed it from me. So then, igloi milsa, this retroactively reveals why he was silent originally. The reason he was silent originally, because he said, you guys in Beis Din are watching the whole thing. Savar, ha kachosu le rabbanim. He said, the rabbi saw we both came in the hold of the garment, and then he yanked it out of my hand, and he's now claiming that it's all his because he's the possessor of it. You guys saw what went on, so I didn't think I had to say anything. Now I realize I better speak up. So therefore, it wasn't a shtika kehodah originally. It was a shtika because I thought you guys saw everything, but now I'm realizing I better go complain. That's Rav Zeira's question. What's the halacha? So Rav Nachman comes along and is going to bring us a riot from the following price. Amr Rav Nachman. Nachman says, our Mishnah, Bamedvarim Amurim, our Mishnah, what is it talking about? Shishneim Adukim Ba. Our Mishnah is talking about where both of them are actually holding on to the talis. Indeed, in the very first Rashi in the Masechta, we said, Davka Ochazin, the Shneim Muchzakim Ba, that both of them have to be holding it in order to have the case of Shneim Ochazim Talis, that each one has to make a shvua. They Bedavka both have to be holding it. The Enlos that Koach Bo Yosim is that, neither one has more of a right to it than the other one. If it was in the hands of one person, Lovado, so then he's the owner, and the other one has to be Motzi Mechavera, Oliver Rai. He would have to prove it. So therefore, again, Rav Nachman says, our Mishnah is talking about the Medvar, Mamurim, Mishneim, Adukim, but they're both holding on to it. Avol, in fact, Hoizu Talis Yotzeis Mitachas Yadu Shalechabehem. But if the Talis was in the possession of Reuven, one of them, and the other one is saying, hey, it's mine too, so then Reuven is the possessor, and therefore, Amotzi Mechaver, all of a raya. Anybody who tries to take something away from a Mulsog, so he better bring a raya, he better bring witnesses, he better bring a shtar, he better bring proof that it belongs to him, otherwise, we always leave things the way they are. The Chazaka is left intact, and unless somebody brings a raya, why we should ignore the Chazaka, Amotzi Mechaver, all of a raya, you better bring a raya. So therefore, Hechidomi, under what circumstances is this Bryce explaining? In Nemo Kidiktani, if you're telling me that it's straightforward that Reuven came into the basin holding on to the garment, and Shimon says, hey, that's my garment, so then he has no raya, so then Pshita, why would we think that he's entitled to go at the garment? And most people have all of raya. That would be too obvious. We wouldn't need the Bryce to explain that to us. So what's the Bryce telling us? Ella, the Bryce is talking about Shetekofa Echad Bifaneinu. Reuven and Shimon were both holding on to the garment, and Reuven pulled it away from Shimon in front of us. And Mistama, the case is that Shimon was originally silent, and then he only subsequently was Tzavach, only afterwards did he go and complain. So therefore, this Bryce clearly tells us Hamotzi Mechabrol of Araya. So Tekofa, if you grabbed it from him, Ein motziim miyado. We do not go and take it away from the person who grabbed it. We say, you're now the mulsak, and Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Raya. Shimon, who's no longer the mulsak, would have to go bring a raya, or else he can't get it. And this is talking about the case where he was originally silent, and then he was tzavach. So Rav Nachman says, you see from this brisa, the answer to Rav Zeri's question. Rav says, lav davka. Who says that's what the brisa's case is talking about? Lo. You know what the brisa is going about? Hakabai askinon. Kigon da asu likamon kiditfiso lo tavayu. Yes, they came into the court with Reuven and Shimon both holding on to the garment. And we told them, zilu plogu. We said, listen, divide it up. We have no way of knowing which one of you is the real owner of this garment. Neither of you has proof. So therefore, divide it up. Okay, so they left the Nafku and they divided it up. But then they come back in later on. V'hadar asu. And now come back to the court. Kitafis lo chabinayu. One of them, let's say Reuven, is holding on to the garment now. And hi, Omar, the one who's holding on to it, Reuven says, Oduye odili. He obviously admitted that it was mine. That's why I have it in my possession right now. What does the other one say? B'Shimon, hi, Omar, he says, no. He admitted that it was mine. And bidmei ogarti nihale. I decided to rent it to him. I'm renting him my garment. That's why he has it in his possession. But I'm the one that really owns it. And therefore, the chiddush of the price is, Damrin Lei, we say to Shimon, Ad hashda, chashadat Lei, begazin. Up till now, you thought that this guy was a ganav. He'd grabbed your cloak and took it without your permission. And now, you afterwards are renting it to this guy? Vahashda, mogris Lei, below Sadi, and you was so silly as to go to rent it to this guy without witnesses, you basically gave him the item, and you essentially have given up all your rights to it by not doing this with witnesses. So therefore, that's what the Bryce is telling us. That's teretz number one, that it's not a proof as Rav Nachman had stated it was. Or alternatively, we could say, Kidiktani. No, the case is as follows. The Asula Kamon, they're coming in front of us, Kitofis Lo Chad Minayu, with one of them only holding on to the garment fully. The Idach. So Reuven's holding on to the garment fully. And what is Shimon doing? V'idach misrach ba sruche. He is trying to hold on to the garment. Shimon is grabbing at the garment. He's trying to take it away. Reuven clearly has it in his possession, and Reuven is holding on to it while Shimon is trying to grab it away from him. The Aruch says that the lashon of sruche is the lashon of tfisa. I thought that maybe it comes from the lashon of a sircha in the lungs, like an adhesion in the lungs. It's called the sircha. It's adhering to it. So in any event, Shimon is trying to grab onto it. If you look at it objectively, you would say Reuven really has it, but Shimon is trying to grab it away from him. So there, in this situation, the Bryce's chiddush is, not like Rav Nachman, but the Bryce is telling us, b'afilu l'sumchus, even according to Sumchus, who's the famous sheet that we've learned many times, d'amar momen amutu b'sofik, chokim below shua, Sumchus says if two people have a machlokis about something, and the money is not clear as to who it belongs to, so then you just split it. Cholkin, mamun hamutal besofik, if money is in doubt as to who owns it, Reuven or Shimon, they split it without having to make a shvua. So even Sumchus in this situation would not say that this is mamun hamutal besofik if Reuven is really primarily holding on to it, and Shimon is trying to take it from him. So even Sumchus is mode Sumchus, the sircha, this trying to grab it away from Reuven that Shimon is trying to do, lav klumi, it doesn't hold up, that's not a chazon. Hatzaka, and the Beis Din in this situation will give it to Reuven. But you can't bring a Saraya that the Halach is Tokva Ein Motziyo Miyado, that the Braisa doesn't support. So we're left with our question. What is the answer to Rav Zera's question? Tokva, do we say Motziyo Miyado, or do we say Ein Motziyo Miyado? So we don't have a clear resolution. The Gemara is now going to ask the following. If you wanted to paskin that Tokva Echo Bifoneinu, that if Reuven grabbed it from Reuven and Shimon holding onto it, and Reuven wrested it away from Shimon, and we say, in fact, Halacha is Motziyim Biyado, in fact, we watched this whole thing go on, and we can't give it to Reuven, we can't say, you're the Mochsuk now. We saw you grab it away from Shimon. Both of you were holding it, Shnayim Ochazin. The Beis Din in this situation says, Tokva Motziyim Biyado, even though he was stronger, and he grabbed it away from Shimon, we don't accept that and say he's now the Mochsuk. So, Motziyim or some Biyado, if you hold like that, so then the Halacha would be clear. If he was Hikdisha, Eino Mikudeshes. If Reuven went and was Mekadishit, so then we wouldn't say that he is entitled to be Mekadishit and it belongs to Hekdish. Because if Tokva didn't give it to him, so certainly Hekdisha is not going to give it to him. As Rashi explains, we're dealing here with Hikdisha below Tokva. So Reuven and Shimon are both holding on to it. He hasn't grabbed it away from Shimon. And he says, I'm Makdish this garment. So the din is clearly Eino Mukdeshes, as Rashi says, Delo Olim Hikdisha Mi Tokva. Because if Tokva is Motziyo Miyado, we take it away from him. So then Hikdisha, if he's Makdisha, that can't be stronger than Tokva. Delo Olim Hikdisha Mi Tokva. Because even though we have the rule that normally we say that if a person is Makdish something, all he has to do is say that he's Makdish it. Amiroso Ligovoa, Kimisiroso Lehejot, it is the equivalent of actually giving it to another private person. So all you have to do is be Makdish something and say, this is being Mikudeshes, so it becomes Mikudeshes. Basin doesn't need a Kenyan. The Gizbar doesn't need to make a Kenyan. It belongs to Hekdish by his just Amira. So even though Amira normally would work, if he really owned this, it would now belong to Hekdish. But if he grabbed it, it wouldn't belong to Hekdish. If you hold that Tokva Motziyin Miyada, so then if Tokva Motziyin Miyada is the Halacha, if we were to paskin like that, answer to Rav Zera's question, so then certainly Hikdisha would be Eino Mikudeshes, because it doesn't belong to Reuven and he can't go be Makdish. However, Im Timtzei Lomar Tokva Echo Bifaneinu, Ein Motziyin Osa Miyado. If, however, the answer to Rav Zera's question is that if somebody does grab it, Reuven and Shimon were originally holding on to it, and Reuven grabs it away from Shimon, and we say in that situation, Reuven now has become the Muchsak, and Ein Motziyin Osa Miyado, and we don't go and take it back from Reuven, he is now the Muchsak. So then, the question is, Hikdisha below Tokva Mahu. What would be the halacha by a person being Makdishit without having grabbed it? Here, Tokva works. So maybe Hikdisha, which is the equivalent, giving something to Hekdish just with your mouth, is maybe the equivalent of Tokva. So maybe Hikdisha would work. Or do we say no? Even here, Hikdisha isn't the same as Tokva. That now is the question that we're going to try to answer. And basically, the Gemara now explains what I just said. Kivan diomamar amiroso ligavoa kimisiroso lehejo domi. Since, as I mentioned, the Torah's view is that if a person just says, I'm being mocked or something, it's as if he made a kinyan with Hekdish and actually gave it over to Hekdish, so his verbalization is the equivalent of an actual mesira to a hedgeot. When you make a deal, Reuven and Shimon, so when does it become Shimon's? When Reuven gives it over to Shimon. Shimon makes some sort of a kinyan in it via mesira, by passing all over. So then in that situation, Shimon owns it. But by Hekdish, you don't need an actual mesira. You can just say, this now is Hekdish, and it belongs to Hekdish. So do we say, just like Amira by Hekdish is enough, it's as if it was Mesira Dami, so too, when he's Makdish, even though he wasn't Tokva, it is the equivalent of being Tokva. Command to Tokva Dami, and if you paskin, Tokva ain't Motziyo Miyado, so then it does belong to Hekdish. Or do we say, no, Odilma Hashta Mia Ha Lo Tokva. In this situation, he did not actually grab it. So it belongs to both of them. They're both physically holding on to it. And therefore, it's not considered his to be Makdish. You can only be Makdish something that you totally own. Uksiv, the Ish Ki Yakdish is Beso Kodesh v'gomer. So if a person is makdish something, it has to be beiso. It has to be his. My beiso b'rishuso. It has to be something that you totally possess. It has to be in your rishus. So too, I've called b'rishuso. You can only be makdish something that totally belongs to you. As opposed to lafuki hai, in this situation, the lo rishuso. In this situation, where he's just makdish it, they're both holding on to it. He did not do tokef. He didn't grab it. So now, he can't be makdish it, even though we say that Amira Ligavoa is Mr. Russell Hedjo, but you have to own it for this to work. So that's the question that we're now asking. So we try to bring a raya from the following. Toshma, Dahi, Matur Tavavo Mibes, once was a Masusa. Rashi tells us the Masusa is a bathhouse. It's a merchutz. So the Havu Minsu Aloh Beitre. The two people, Reuven and Shimon, were arguing about who owns this bathhouse. Hayam Ardidihu, Vayam Ardidihu. Reuven says it's my bathhouse, and Shimon says it's my bathhouse. Now, and one of them, let's say Reuven, goes and is makdish this bathhouse. So now, if it belongs to Hekdish, so then you're not allowed to use it. So Parshe Mina, Rav Chananya, Rav Hoshaya, Lechula Rabbanim. So these two great rabbis, Rav Chananya and Rav Hoshaya, and all the other rabbis, they separated themselves from this bathhouse. They didn't want to go and use this bathhouse anymore because maybe it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and if they were to use this bathhouse without permission, so then it would be Me'ilah. So therefore, they stayed away from this bathhouse. Tosos in Menachos asks an interesting question over here. Since we have a rule that you can go and redeem something from Hekdish, so you can even redeem it for much less than its value in a situation when the Beis HaMikdash doesn't exist anymore. So therefore, podeh moneh bishar v'pruta. So even if this bathhouse is worth $500,000, they could be podeh from Hekdish for a penny. So why didn't they do that? Bizman HaZeh, you're allowed to do that because Hekdish can't own anything today. Just like we're saying the basic thing when you give truma in Eretz Yisrael today, since Kohens aren't allowed to eat the truma, so we say don't take off the 2%, the one in 50, or the 1 in 40, or the 1 in 60 that normally a person gives. A generous person gives 1 in 40, a stingy person gives 1 in 60, the average person gives 1 in 50. We don't say you have to give that today. We say chit achas poteres esakri. We allow the basic din daraisa to exist because, after all, Hekdish can't use it. The Kohanim can't use it. So why be makdish something more than it is? So since the Beis HaMikdash doesn't exist today, there is no such concept of Hekdish. So anything that belongs to Hekdish basically is thrown into the Yam HaMelech. So therefore, why, Tosa says, didn't they go redeem this Masusa for a penny? So Tosa's answer is no, because it was like a co-name. The person, in fact, it said that this is now also for everybody to use. And that was the question that they had. Did that work or did that not work? And therefore, these great rabbis, Uchanani, Rav Hoshaya, Vakula Rabban, and the other rabbis, they stayed away from this bathhouse because maybe it was Hekdish. But they weren't sure. So Rav Hoshaya went to Rabbah and he told him, I know you regularly go to see Rav Chista. Go and ask this question to Rav Chista, who is in Kafri, which is the name of a place, Rashi says. So, Kiyazos Kameh, the Rav Chista, when you go to visit your Rebbe, Rav Chista, so he's in Kafri, by me, they ask him this question. Is the bathhouse considered over here to be Mukdash? This person was Makdashit, even though they're both holding on to it and claiming that it's their bathhouse. So, does the Hekdish work or does the Hekdish not work? Essentially, our question. So, Rabba goes to visit Rav Chista in Kafri, but on the way, he stops off in Surah. Kiyasa l'sura, on his way to going to Kafri, Rashi says, Kishoya over derech surah leilith l'kafri. So he meets up with Rav Hamnuna. So Amalei Rav Hamnuna, he asks this question to Rav Hamnuna, and Rav Hamnuna tells him, Masnisini. This case of the Masusa is essentially the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Taharos. The Mishnah in Taharos tells us, Sofek Bechoros. You can have three different types of Sofek Bechoros. If it's Echod Bechor Adam, we're not sure, is this the firstborn person? Did the mother miscarry a fetus that would make this person no longer a Bechor? It's really the second child, even though the first child was miscarried and is not around, but the question is, after this miscarriage, was it a significant enough miscarriage that the second child is not called a Bechor anymore? So whether it's a Safik and whether the person is a Bechor or not, or V'yechud Bechor Behema, or it's a Safik, is this the animal that's the firstborn from a mother, and this mother animal, Bein Tahor, Bein Tmeim, whether it's a cow, goat, or sheep family question on a Bechor, or whether it's a donkey, there's a din of Peter, Chamor, Beseh. It's the only animal that's non-kosher that you have to go and redeem the firstborn with a set. So whether it's a Bechor Safek of an Adam, a Bechor Safek of a kosher, one of the behemoths, a goat, cow, or sheep, or whether it is a donkey, Safek, is this a Bechor or not? The din is, the Mishnah tells us, Hamotzi Mechaveru, all of a raya. The one who wants to take this item, the Bechor question, so whoever is the Mukhsuk, the other one has to bring a raya. So if the Mukhsuk is the person who is the owner of this animal, so then the Kohen can't go and take it from him. He would have to bring a raya. If the Kohen did have it, the person who originally says, hey, that's a Safek Bechor, he would have to bring a raya that is a Safek Bechor. So Hamotzi Mechavero, all of a raya. Now, Rav Hamnuna is basically saying that whoever has the possession of it over here, the burden of proof is on the other party. So if the Kohen actually grabbed this Safek Bechor, it would be considered his possession, and therefore the Yisrael would have to go bring a proof that it wasn't a Bechor to go and get it back. Now, V'toni Allah, we learned in the following Brisa in regards to this Mishnah in Taharos, Asurim Begiza Uviavoda, that this questionable Safek Bechor, if it's, let's say, a sheep, so you're not allowed to go and shear this sheep, and you're not allowed to work this animal. Let's say it was a cow, you wouldn't be allowed to go and work this animal to go plow with it, because it's a Safek, does it belong to Hekdesh or not? Now, what is this last Brisa talking about? When is it Asurim Begizah Avodah? What are the circumstances? Here we're saying, Tekafo Kohen, the Kohen grabbed it. The din is, Ein Motzino Soviyado, as we pointed out. Hamos Mechir Olav Raya, the Yisrael would have to go and bring proof. So we don't take it away from the Kohen who grabbed it. Tekhtani Hamos Mechir Olav Raya, because the Mishnah said that if you want to take it, you have to prove that it's yours. Once he grabbed it, so Tekafo, Ein Motzino Miyado. Now, the implication is the chilota kofo, if he did not grab it, so then asurim begizo v'yavoda, it remains forbidden to go and shear it or to work with it. So clearly, even though there wasn't tekofo, it is nevertheless asurim begizo v'yavoda. So the bottom line is, Rav Hamnuna tells Rabba, even though there wasn't tekofo, nevertheless it has the status of being a karbon, of being a bechor, and therefore can't have Giza, it can't have Avoda. So too, in the case of the Masusa, even though he wasn't Tokfo, they're two arguing about it, nevertheless, if he's Makdish it, it does belong to Hekdish, and therefore the Rabbanim were correct in not using that Masusa. That's where Rav Nuna told Rabba. But Rabba didn't like this. Only Rabba says back to him, no. Kedushas Bechor comments, you bring me a raya from this Mishnah in Taharos from Kedushas of Bechor. Kedusha of Bechor comes by itself. La'olam emeloch, I can answer you, to kafel kohen, mosinu samiyado. Maybe the halach is, if in fact the kohen had grabbed it from him, we would take it away from him because it's only a suffix, and you have to go and prove that this is a Bechor before you're entitled to get it. And even despite that, we do consider it a Safek Bechor, and therefore we don't want you to go and shear it or to work with it. Because the Kedusha Habo Meleha Shiny. Because if it is a Bechor, it's a Bechor Mirechem. It was a Bechor from the second it was born. It was a Bechor already inside the mother. And therefore, that's why you don't do Giza Vavoda. But you can't bring us a riot from here as to what the halacha would be in the Masusa case. Tiny the Messiah law. So Rav Hananya, when he heard this discussion between Rabbah and Rav Amnuna, said, yeah, you're 100% right, Rabbah. There is a brisa that actually supports what you said, that you can't bring a Saraya over here because the Bechor case is totally different. It's Kedusha Habor Me'ileh. The Kedusha and the Bechor comes automatically, and it's not something that the person was Makdish, as opposed to the Masusa, where the person was Makdish. And I bring you the Raya from the following. On the side of the Masoras of Shas, it tells us that this is a Mishnah in Bechoros, but it's not fully quoted. And he brings out an interesting point. He says, "V'derech Hashas lekatzer." Moshe Kosov tells us in Sukkah Dalet that sometimes we quote something, but we don't quote it fully. But it's just pointing out where the source is, but it's not necessarily a fully accurate quote. And that's what happens over here. Anyway, this Mishnah in Bechoros on Dav Tes says as follows. We have to remind ourselves of the din of Maisu Behema. Maisu Behema is when a person has 10 animals that are born within the halachic calendar year for animals. It's a machlokes, whether the Rosh Hashanah for the din of Maisu Behema is in the year starts from Rosh Chodesh Elul, or does it start from Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. In any event, that's not important for us right now. If you have 10 animals that are born in that calendar year, that halachic calendar year, so then you have to pass them through the corral, and the 10th one is considered Maisa Behema, which the owner is now going to bring up and eat for himself as a karban in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. So as Sveikos, Nichnos and Ladir Lisaser, what happens if you have an animal that you're not clear? It's a Safek, whether it's a Bechor or not. So if it's a Bechor, it's already Hekdesh. You can't go and use it to bring his Maisa Behema. If that was the 10th one, you can't say, well, now it's Maisa Behema. It's a Bechor. It's already Hekdesh. And therefore, it wouldn't be allowed to be included in the din of Maisa Behema if you knew Vaday that it was a Bechor. But if it's a Safek, whether it's a Bechor or not. So as Sveikos, the Mishnah in Bechoris tells us, Nichnos in Ladir Lisasa, you can use them to be the 10 animals that are used to go and separate Maisa Behema from. 1, 2, 3, 4, number 10, that's Maisa Behema. And even if it's a Sufek, this will become the Maisa Behema. The Esau Kedaitach, however, this is where Ruchanan says to Rabbah, you're correct, because if you were to hold to Kofu Kohen, Ein Motzino Sumiyado, if in fact you're going to say, the halacha is if somebody grabs it, if the coin grabs it, we wouldn't take it away from him. So then, amay nichnos ledir. So then, it has the kedusha of a bechor. So why would we allow it to be counted over here towards the 10th animal? Nimtza zepo to mamono, but mamono shul kohen. It turns out that if the coin had grabbed it, the coin would own it. So then, when it comes in and it's now the 10th one, you're basically giving your meiser behema with the coin's property, and you're not allowed to do that. So therefore, Rav Chanani says to Rabba, this Mishnah in Bechoros supports your Shita. But Abai says no. At least he originally says no, that's incorrect. He's going to retract his rejection. First he says, Amalei Abai, he says to Rav Chananya, no, you're incorrect. Imi Shumha, if this is the only way to substantiate Rabbah, so then you got a problem. Because Lo Tesayei Lamar, you wouldn't be able to support Rabbah Shita from this Mishnah in Bechoros. Why is that? Because, Hachamai Askini, you know what this Mishnah is talking about? Kigon Delesle Elo Tisha Vahu. Because this guy only had 10 animals. He had 9 animals that were Vaday Nada Bechor, and they were born that year, and they definitely are going to be counted towards the 10 animals of Maisa Behema, but they didn't have another 10th animal other than the Safik Bechor. So Mimanushach, the Safik Bechor, either is the 10th animal, and it's Mechuyev in Maisa Behema, or it's a Bechor, and then you only have 9 animals. And with 9 animals, there is no din of Maisa Behema. So that's what he's saying. We're dealing over here, Kigon Delesle Elo Tisha Vahu. There's only 10 total animals, 9 plus this Safik Bechor. What's the din? If in fact this wasn't a bechor and it's one of 10 animals, so then shaper komaisa, then he's appropriately giving this one as maisa behema. But if it really is a bechor, so then he only has 9 animals. The tisha lav bar isurininu. So then there is no 10th animal and there is no din of maisa behema. So therefore, mimanushach, you're not stealing it from the kohen because there were only 9 animals plus this bechor. If it's a bechor, so then there is no din of maisa behema and it goes to the Kohen. If it in fact is not a Bechor, so then it's Maisa Behema, and we brought up the Sektish. So either way, you're going to bring it up the Sektish, and it's not a proof to Rabba Shita. That's what Abaye first said. But then he retracted this rejection of Rav Chananya's proof to Rabba. Hadar Amar Abaye Lav Mil Sahid Yamri. That which I just rejected, Rav Chananya's support of Rabba, was incorrect. Why? Because this sveika lav barisure he. Because if this really is a suffix of being a bechor, so then you're not ma'asrit. You cannot count it towards ma'asrit behema. As Rashi tells us in Dibra Matzu, lav milsuhi di amre. Let's explain this. Because devadai siato hi lumar. In fact, Abai is saying Rabbi Chananya brought a very good riot to Rabbah's position. If in fact the Kohen did have a right to go and take it, because maybe it's a Bechor and he has the right to go and take it, it's unclear whether you have 10 animals or not, so we wouldn't go and say that you have to go and do the Maisa Behema process. As we said, mimanushach. Because sofik chayav, sofik potter, lav bnei isurin inu. You wouldn't go and use that animal to count towards 10. Bafilu hecha the ikal memar mimanushach. Even if you have the mimanushach that I said, that if it's a bechor, so then you don't have 10. If it's not a bechor, then you do have 10. Even there, we don't go and bring a sofik animal towards the maisa behema status. So therefore, Rav Chananya's proof sticks. Because if you were to say, talk for Kohen, ain Muslim so miyado, so then amay nichnos al deer, then it wouldn't go into the deer because it's not included in the din of Maisa Behema. And therefore, what do you see? The Kohen is not entitled to go and grab this item, and therefore, even if the Kohen did go and grab it, he would be motzi in miyado. We would take it away from him. Now, how does Abaye know that when you have over here a suffix that it doesn't have a status of Maisa Behema? Because it's not. Because this is a Mishnah Bechoros. And the Mishnah Bechoros tells us, Kofatz echoy bin haminuyim letochan. What happens if you started having the animals go through the corral, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you're separating those animals because they're already no longer going to be Maisa Behema. They've been counted, and therefore they don't count anymore towards Maisa Behema. And then one of those animals that have been counted jumped your fence and got back together with all the other animals that have not yet been counted. Kofatz Echo bin Hamanuyim, one of those that had already been counted, jumps back in Lesochan to the other animals. So then the halach is Kulon Peturim, because this animal that was already counted is Potter from the din of Maisa Behema. And therefore, if you tell me when you have a Sofek that you have to do Maisa Behema, so then let the animal that has jumped back in be included. What's the big deal? If in fact the 10th animal is not one that had previously been counted, so then Shapir Masa, so then it's appropriately number 10. Vilav Baruch Yuvahu, and if in fact it had been previously counted, and therefore it can't count as number 10, Niftar Biminyan Haroi. As Rashi explains in Dira Masa Biminyan Haroi, Shekishimona Aleph Beis Gimel, Hoyu Bedir Tloyim Harbe. There were still many animals that had not yet been counted. Shayu Ruyin Lahashlim, that would have made up the number of 10. Upotri Minyano, as we learn from Rava. What did Rava say? We'll understand this now. The Amar Rava, Minyan Haroi Poter. We see in Rashi, Hoylo Yutloim, Umana Chomesh. Let's say you had 10 sheep, and you counted off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then Umes Echod Min She'enon Menuyin. One of the 5 that had not yet been counted died. So the ones that had been counted, the first 5, Hamenuyin, Peturin, they no longer have a din that you have to go and include them from Maisa Behema. The She'enon Menuyin, the ones that hadn't yet been counted, let's say the 4 that are left besides the one that died, Mitztarfin Legorin Acher, they'll be counted with the next animals that are born in that calendar year to make up 10. However, Rashi then says, Avol Hamenuyin, Peturin, Biminyin, Haroi. But those that had already been counted are Potter. The Yoliflam, we learned this out, Miasher Yavar, from the pasuk that says, Asher Yavar, Velo Shekvar Ovar. The Mishi Ovar, once they went Tachas Hashevet, they're not needed anymore. They're not counted. Velo Ola Biyodo, La'aser Shuv. And they can't be used anymore to reach the count of 10. They can't go through a second time, and therefore even if you were to subsequently have additional ones, they aren't included in the count. We turn to Zayin Amud Aleph. So Ela my Isl Chabemar. Therefore, what are you going to say? Rashi says Lama Lo Chivu Liaser Mimanushach. So why don't we say Mimanushach? Either it is Roy and you're counting it, or it's not Roy and you're not counting it. So the answer is because only in Asiri Vadai or Rachmona, you can't do this Mimanushach, only if it's definitely a tenth. As Rashi says, Hatzorich Hakosov Liasid, that the Torah commanded us to count a specific Vadai tenth, the Lo Hutzrich, and it didn't permit us, La'aser es HaSofik, to say, well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. V'chol Asiri Shebechan Sofikin, and every one of these now is a Sofik, because Shafilu Yotzo HaPotur B'chamishi Shuv Ein Asiri Kori Asiri, even if the 5th one went out, so it can't be counted. So therefore, the one that you're now going to say is the 10th is going to be really the 9th. So therefore, Ein HaAsiri Kori Asiri Elochi Shapotur Einu Min HaMinyan. The one that was counted cannot be counted, and therefore, it's only a Vadai. And therefore, Abaye says, Hochanami, in our case as well, when we're dealing with Asiri Vadai Omer Achmona, Velo Asiri Sofek, you can only have a Vadai one that counts. And therefore, this does support Rabba's view that the Kohen is not allowed to go and take the animal because it really isn't his. And Mimanushach, if the Mishnah said that we are allowed to go and count it towards the 10th, it must obviously, the Sofek Bechor must obviously belong totally to the owner. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a Vadai number 10, and therefore the Kohen doesn't have the right to go and take it, and therefore the Kohen can't go and grab it. And if he did grab it, we would in fact take it away from him, and that therefore does support Rabba's Shita. Talk for Motzi'in Miyado. I know this was a little bit tough. It's a good break point. We'll stop over here. With this, we conclude today's shir.